Hey, Rob, how was your day?
Hey, it was good.
How was good. Yours? Pretty. So, let's see here. Let's just go ahead with our friends of the show.
Yeah.
Make sure you check out Josh Cohn's down there at Ray Skillman. His number is 317-665-6559. He'll help you get into a new or used car. He's definitely qualified to do that, and he'll be glad to work with you no matter what your credit score or if you divorce, have bankruptcy or whatever, he can help you with that. His number is 317-665-6559. If you're looking for a diner style experience here on the east side, make sure you check out Indy's Historic Steer Inn. They're at 5130 East 10th Street here in Indy. It's 317-356-0996. Once again, that's Indy's Historic Steer Inn at 5130 East 10th, 317-356-0996. If you're looking for a classic style barber here on the east side, but it's cash only, so make sure you take a crispy $20 bill. It's Craig's Hair Care. You can give them a call, 317-897-3649. Their address is 51 South Franklin Road, Indianapolis, 46219. You do want to call ahead. Their phone number is 317-897-3649. And they, for me, with a barber or going to, you know, your other hair care places, the other hair care places don't get your neck right. And these guys shave your neck with a razor, so they get your neck right every time. It's definitely worth your time to look into. That's Craig's Hair Care, 317-897-3649. If you're looking for a date night, I know people are going out more now that they've got their second shot. Make sure you can always check out Charleston's there in Castleton at 6815 East 82nd Street, 317-841-0442. That's 317-841-0442. And they do have adult beverages. And they have a bar as well. I go there exclusively for the bison burgers, which are outstanding. You can also check out their menu at charlestons.com. If you want some cool gear and live concerts are coming back, they've got a check out the shop. It's theshopindy.com. They've got Deer Creek shirts, Market Square shirts, Hoosier Dome shirts, Roslyn Bakery shirts. They got all kinds of stuff. It's theshopindy.com. They've got two locations, one in Broad Ripple and one at Clay Terrace. Check out theshopindy.com. If you're in the mood for authentic Mexican, make sure you check out El Jarepo at 30th East Washington Point Drive, 317-898-3921. Of course, they have margaritas and they have every authentic Mexican dish you can think of. And if you're on a budget, you can get the combo platters. They have 30 selections for $10. It's my go-to place for Mexican. It's outstanding. It's El Jarepo, 317-898-3921. If you're in Broad Ripple, it's a new restaurant that opened up during the virus, so I applaud them for that. It's Dad's Kitchen. It's dadskitchenindy.com. Whether you're looking to sit in for a cup of coffee or you're on the run, Dad's Kitchen has your back. Inspired by quick and casual food, Dad's Kitchen is a mix of delicious Spanish and American foods, as well as Peruvian, and they're a family-run business. 317-986-6209, and that's dadskitchenindy.com. And then there's always our friends at Giacomo's Pizza. They have one on the south side in Greenwood, 317-883-8993. Also on the north side of Fort Bend, 317-888-8993. 896-4545. I go to the east side in Irvington, 317-356-6612. They're open from 11 to 9. And if you're going to go this week and you go on Wednesday, since it'd be Cinco de Mayo, you may want to try their taco pizza, which is great. Slaughterhouse 5 is outstanding. That's basically all the meat you can eat. And then there's also the Cheese Louise, which is outstanding as well. And finally, if you want to give back to the community, and I'm a firm believer in that, I mean, however you want to do that with your charity of choice, I would want you to think about this. Gleaners Food Bank, for every dollar you spend with them, that's five meals for the hungry, and they make it really easy for you to do that. All you got to do is go to gleaners.org, and you can make a donation. And, you know, nobody wants to talk about it, but here we are. Indianapolis does have a homeless problem, so... that we do need to feed the homeless and then the poor and then the elderly and the children as well. It's $1 for every five meals for the hungry, and you can donate it at gleaners.org. So we also have some sad news from the world of sports. Hall of Fame Indianapolis Indy 500 driver Bobby Unser passes away at the age of 87 today. So Rob, tell me your feelings about the NFL draft overall and how the Colts did.
Yeah, I was what do they call them? It's not a derelict. What is the word? Basically, I did nothing but watch the draft this last weekend. So,
you OD'd on the NFL draft.
Yeah. I did not watch the very last pick of the Colts, which maybe I shouldn't have watched any of the draft. That way they would have picked a tackle before the very last pick that they had.
Which they did. They finally did.
Yes. But if I remember correctly, all in all, they did 50-50 pretty much. I mean, they only had seven picks, so it was, I think, four offense and three defense. Mm-hmm. Defense was the first day. Offense was the second day. A couple of really interesting things, though, that I noticed with the Colts draft in particular was into the sixth round, because going into the draft, the Colts only had six picks out of seven rounds. Mm-hmm. They did not have a third round pick, but they made up for it from about halfway through the sixth round into the seventh. And what they did was when their pick came up for the sixth round, they traded back with the New Orleans Saints. Mm-hmm. And the Saints with that pick took a tackle. Okay.
Oh, so interesting.
So I was like, really? Colts could have taken a tackle there and they didn't do it.
Yeah.
Well, where they traded back into the sixth round was maybe 8 to 10 places back. And with that pick, the Colts took a quarterback from Texas. And that quarterback is from Westlake High School in Texas. And if you know anything about Westlake High School, it's where a guy named Drew Brees came from.
Do you know any scouting reports on this quarterback at all?
I do not, but they did note that he is the third draft pick in the last 20 years out of Westlake High School, the other one being Nick Foles, which, given the current quarterback and the current coach of the Colts, a lot of light bulbs went on. You know, what could be the irony that the Saints give us the trade we needed to get another Westlake High School great quarterback. So, yeah, I can't remember the pick's last name. It starts with an E. It's like Elberger or something like that.
Sam Ellinger.
Ellinger, yes. And I did not know the scouting report on it. I was kind of stunned that, well, I knew by that time all the named quarterbacks obviously were gone. I mean, the draft took three quarterbacks in the first three picks overall.
Right.
And that hasn't happened in a while.
Right.
But for the actual scouting report on him, I still have not learned a lot about him.
What do you like the tight end out of Essen?
Well, with that, my question is, and I've looked a little bit and I haven't found the answer, where they picked him, I'm wondering if he's going to be a, quote, blocking tight end.
Right, he's fourth round pick.
Yep.
Yeah. So they definitely need the tight ends because who was the big star? That Burton, right? Burton left, right?
Burton's gone, yeah.
Yeah, so it's kind of thin there. It's Cox and Doyle, and that's it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Some of the other notables is me, you know, being a Purdue homer that I noted was that Rondell Moore – out of Purdue was taken, I believe, 50th overall by Arizona Cardinals. Mm-hmm. So Arizona Cardinals now have DeAndre Hopkins, Rondell Moore. I believe J.J. Watt went over there.
Right.
Watch out for the Arizona Cardinals.
Oh, I totally agree with that. I think they're going to be on the move. There was an Indiana Hoosier that went high, but I don't remember his name and where he went.
I do remember that as well. I can't remember where either. I think there were only two draft picks out of Purdue. The other one was, I believe, in the fourth round, and he was a linebacker, if I'm not mistaken.
Do you have any in-depth story about a Quiddy Pay?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
If I don't know if it was an NFL presentation, NFL Films presentation, or if it was a CBS thing, but if anybody has seen the story on Quiddy Pay, has not seen or heard the story about Quiddy Pay, go look it up, because when I saw the story, I believe it was the day before the draft started, I was like, Quiddy Pay would be a really, really good quality pick for the Colts. At the time, Quiddy Pay was supposed to be projected to go as early as, I think, 10th to Dallas.
Right.
And as late as 23rd, 24th, maybe even later, with the Jacksonville Jaguars. That would have been their second pick. So, and the Colts fell to in 21st spot. Well, Quiddy Pay, he was born into a refugee camp in Nigeria during the Civil War.
Right.
Yeah. His mother came to the United States. They lived in Rhode Island, and she worked three jobs. And I guess the meeting that Quiddy and his mom had was basically, if you can get me into this private school, I'll get a scholarship. And that's how it really all started. And you say the name Quiddy. Quiddy was his grandfather's name. So
I heard the expanded story on him on ABC News because they, you know, them and ESPN.
Our
sister connection. But Lindsay Davis, who used to be local here on the local news, did the story on Quiddy Payne for ABC News, after the pick was made. So that was kind of an interesting connection.
Yeah. No, I was stunned that they took him. I was like a lot of people expecting a tackle in the first two rounds, but that to me, that was huge just because, I was talking with somebody about it today, and you know, that having the character like that, not having it kind of, you know, fed to you from day one that this is what your destiny is. He I don't think fully knew that it was going to be his destiny until the Colts called him.
So, right. Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. So, I mean, that's kind of like the feel good story of the draft, in my opinion. But
yes, I agree.
So we'll take it. And, you know, I think Greg Ballard wins again. on his draft picks.
So. For that first round, I absolutely agree. I like all the other, you know, couch quarterbacks are questioning his second one. But
yeah.
If anything else, I think the Colts defense is going to be awesome for some time to come.
Yeah, I think so too.
One thing I'll put out there is I know a lot of people really like Costanzo as long as Costanzo was here and the things he was able to do, but I'll take Quentin Nelson.
Yeah, sure.
Know, I think they can and have a plan to address that need. The Colts got a quarterback, a receiver, a tight end, and an offensive lineman for the offense. And end of the day, I didn't even expect them to take half of that offense. So,
what do you think about Sean Davis of Florida? The safety.
Yeah. Anything out of Florida is good.
I agree.
Anything out of the SEC is good.
Right.
I did notice, I can't remember the first pick that the Raiders took, but I did hear that he was not supposed to go that early.
Right, yeah, all the experts were booing him. It was Alex Leatherwood of Alabama.
Leatherwood, yes, and but he's out of Alabama, you know. So
right.
You see in Alabama and saying, oh, yeah, let's take him.
Yeah, nobody touches the quarterback there.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, rule of thumb, SEC good.
Because, I mean, I get, you know, everybody was scratching their heads with that pick, but their all-star center, Ron Hudson, or maybe their all-star left tackle, Ron Hudson left. So that's why they went that direction. So I wasn't that surprised. For all you Bears fans, you got a quarterback, Justin Fields from Ohio State. So
I never thought I would have heard it, but if it wasn't today, it was yesterday. Somebody was saying they're looking forward to the schedule coming out May 12th because they're hoping the Jets and the Bears will play each other now that they've got new quarterbacks.
Yeah, no kidding.
But that's another team. Both of those teams, I think they did something finally at the quarterback position. We'll see.
You know what? All I got to say is Terrell Pryor. That's all I got to say. So we'll see. I wish them well, but you know, who knows?
I was thinking, yes, you know, I was thinking free tattoos during that myself. But there's something different there, you know. They weren't moving up from 3 to 1. They were moving up from 20 to whatever it was, 11 or something like that.
Right.
And the difference is kind of maybe going back to what I was talking about, where you think it's a birthright, you know, it's like, oh, okay, they've come up a spot for me, you know, and it's mine, meaning Mitch Trubisky. Well, I heard the point being made, you know, the Bears went up darn near 10 spots.
Yeah. Right.
And so Fields knows that they wanted him, you know,
over
Mac Jones.
Right.
That's just, yeah.
And these three quarterbacks, the first three picks, Trevor Lawrence had the best of the best. We're talking about the Jags, dude.
Yeah.
How good is their offensive line? The Colts are going to have him for breakfast.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they are.
They're going to be licking their chops over him two times a year.
I agree. And, Urban Meyer, I guess, was crying because his second pick wasn't there when it came around. So he had to take, you know, so now they got the Wonder Twins down there in Jacksonville.
Activate.
Yeah. And that was a theme in the draft, too, is Wonder Twins. It's like, oh, you know, let's Burrow over there in Cincinnati and his receiver now. And there was somebody else. I can't remember, but.
And that's an AJ Green move. They did that because AJ Green left.
Yep.
So, but he was on the downslope anyway.
Right.
So, but you know, what's going to happen with the Jimmy G and the Niners? Are they just going to flush him or trade bait? Or?
Well, if they hold out long enough, maybe they can get Aaron Rodgers.
He's not going anywhere.
If Vegas didn't want him.
He's not going anywhere. This is the old hype machine. That's saying that he ain't going nowhere.
I think as far as the 49ers, they're going to keep both of them. And it'll be at some point, quarterback by committee. But yeah, they've got a really good thing there. I think that what the coach said was true, that he really wants Garoppolo to stay. And, you know, who really wants to take another shot with Garoppolo and what, his third team at least?
Yeah.
When you might be able to get an Aaron Rodgers or you just stick with what you have. So that's my thought.
And John Lynch knows his stuff.
Yeah, he does. Oh, yeah,
he does. Yeah, he knows his stuff. He knows how to build a team, you know.
Yep.
So, and he knows how to draft. So.
Yep. Yes.
And I don't know. I don't follow college football enough to know how great Zach Wilson is, but the Jets doesn't have an offensive line. I mean, the Niners should have one, but the Jets don't.
Right.
So I don't care how great these guys are. If you don't have the wall up front, you're going to be struggling.
I just like some of the names that they were calling the new quarterback. You know, it's like New Zach City, Zach's Fifth Avenue.
Nice.
But the best part was about.
Was this Mel Kiper or was this somebody else?
Oh, these were everybody but Mel Kiper.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah. They were just trying to come up with it. But the one that really got my attention was about why Zach's mom was trending.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Who do you think did best in the draft? I didn't see any of it. I don't have ESPN. I don't network. Who do you think pulled it off? Well, do you think Miami had the best in the draft?
Jacksonville didn't shoot themselves in the foot. Okay.
Yeah.
They could have after number one. So I'll at least give them managed expectations. I do think the Bears, they showed at least their fan base something. So
yeah, right.
There's that. Right. I hate to say it, but this was the thing that ticked me off most.
Uh-huh.
How the hell do the Patriots get Mac Jones? That he fell to him. And I think he's the heir apparent.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So, yeah, I mean, there's lucking out, and then there's, you know, who had the best skill draft. The Colts, nobody's going to say the Colts had a great draft, especially since they didn't take a tackle in the first two rounds. But the Colts, I think, and I couldn't get this, there was a grade card I watched after the first day, and they just looked at the first round picks. They gave the Colts a B- for Kwity Paye. I was like, that's at least a B+ pick.
So, oh, I agree. Well, you know, the Colts don't get any props.
Right.
They never do. Especially same with the Pacers. They don't get any props in the national media. So,
yeah.
But that's okay.
I think that, let's see, the Falcons taking Pitts as a tight end, highest drafted tight end ever at number 4.
Mm-hmm.
If they can, they were saying Pro Bowl the first year for him. So let's see what happens there. I think maybe they've stopped some of the bleeding that they had last year and maybe the year before, but really my tops are probably Jacksonville and then unfortunately the Patriots, because they just always seem to be there when it counts.
They have the nasty formula.
It was great, though, when Mac Jones was picked, because they were in Cleveland. They were just booing the hell out of him.
Well, you know, Belichick was the coach there.
Yeah.
Forever.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah. So. So you ready to do our topic of the day?
Yeah, topic du jour.
Okay.
I've got some interesting stuff on some of these. Just I've been to the race a handful of times. And with it being the month of May, it used to be the month of May, but now it's about the 2 weeks of May, even before the pandemic. So, but it's great to be in May.
I've never been. We're doing the top 11 Indy 500 drivers of all time. Go ahead, Rob, for number 11.
Yeah, for number 11, his name was Ray Haroun. He won the inaugural 500 in 1911.
Now, before then, it was a motorcycle race, correct?
I believe so. And the way the track was thought of was it was going to be a proving ground for auto and,
right,
and any kind of motorized anything. You know, you take it out there and you just go all out because the place was huge. And at the time it was like, you know, we can just run these things. And then eventually it became a place where cars could race.
Right.
Or motorcycles. Yes.
Right. Because I guess Harley Davidson had a huge presence
mm-hmm.
Before cars took over later.
Yes.
So, and I guess were kind of sketchy in the early days.
Yes, because it was literally a brickyard.
Yes. I couldn't even imagine.
Going down, blunk, 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 blunk. The average race, and here's why I believe that there is hope yet in my lifetime that we can have a speed limit of 220 miles an hour on the interstate. Here's why.
Okay, this isn't the Autobahn, I'm listening.
Well, here's why I think we've gotten too burdened down with regulations, right? You got to open that thing up.
Okay.
Because the average speed for the first Indianapolis 500 was 75 miles an hour.
Oh, okay.
Yes, that was the average speed. That was, you know, yeah, maybe they were doing 100 miles an hour, but then they'd have a, you know, something break and then they slow down. But that was the average track speed for the very first Indianapolis 500 was 75 miles an hour, which is now basically our interstate speed limit. So,
can you imagine being in the slow lane going 200 miles an hour on the Autobahn? Can you imagine the horn honks? Hey, pal, this is a fast lane. Get over it. Yeah.
So it was year one.
I didn't get that classic because I didn't know my history that well on the Indianapolis 500, but I do have a pretty good list, and I got most of this from Bleacher Report because nobody really had a list out there.
Yeah.
My number 11 was Ari Leyendyke.
Oh, okay.
So, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The list I looked at, I agreed with some of them. There's probably a couple glaring ones that you might have, Joe, that I don't for various reasons, but I do try to give a nod to just the history and really the greatest. So, Ari was a good one. Ari was definitely a good one. And one I might have that you might not, the late Dan Weldon.
I do have that. I do have that.
Yeah. He won in 2011 and just as one of the handful of races I was ever at, I was in turn four as he was coming around.
Yeah.
And J.R. Hildebrand crashed.
Yep.
Right as they went under us, we couldn't see. And but by the time the race ended, you know, literally going 200 miles an hour down a half a mile.
Yep.
It took us the better part of 20 to 30 minutes to know exactly who won the race because they were still trying to figure it out. And this is in the age of the internet. Okay.
Yeah.
And so when, you know, they finally announced it and everything else like that, I was in turn four and I was so ticked that I couldn't see that wreck. And every race that I've been to since, I've made sure I was at the entry to the pits on the inside of the track. That way, if it ever happens again, I'll be able to see it.
Yeah.
Okay. I have not changed my seat since.
My number 10 took him a long time to get there. Michael Andretti.
Yes, yes. Yes, the Andretti's. Absolutely. I want Marco to... I have to say, with Marco, his first race, his rookie year, when he basically commented after the race that if it was to the effect, second, it isn't anything here. And
right.
I was kind of like, dude, you're a rookie. Be happy, you know?
Yeah. Yep.
But the fact that he hasn't, I don't even think, done second since speaks to how hard it is to win there. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, for his dad, for his grandpa, I hope he does.
Yeah, me too.
My number 9 is Al Unser Jr. Just because, you know, he is a great, great, great legacy driver. And has had his shares of ups and downs, but when he was racing, everybody loved Little Al.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. I have him higher. My number 9, I don't know what he's like off the track, but on the track, he seemed pretty cool. Elio Castroneves.
Yes, yes. I did not have Elio in my top 11. You know, and maybe if I'd spent some more time thinking about it, I would have, because... Why he was with Penske Racing for all of his wins and everything like that. Now Penske owns the track. So, he definitely was formidable, as a race car driver. I don't know. He's not part of the 4-1 club though, is he?
No,
he's only got 3, right?
Right.
I say only got 3, but yeah. Okay. That's one of the reasons why, because some of my 3-time winners, the list just started getting short too quick. So
sure.
My number 8 is Johnny Rutherford.
Good pick.
Yeah.
He's my number 7.
Is he? Okay. Yeah. I remember the first time I was ever at the track in third grade, they took us out there for a field trip. I remember watching him doing laps in May, you know, when it was the month of May and you could do that kind of thing for the first half of the month. And then, I remember him racing or driving.
Did you take the bus trip around the track?
No, I've never been around the track. I want to do that.
Oh man, that bus is almost on its side. It's like, what?
Well, so. You heard what Speedway High School did. This last year for the graduates, since they couldn't have a graduation ceremony, right?
No.
And I think I know why. A lady I went to high school with is in the front office with IMS, and her daughter I know was a graduate of Speedway High School, so I'm pretty sure she knows all the folks there in Speedway. Well, they arranged for Speedway High School graduating class of 2020. To have their family and cars to drive around the track, and as they crossed start finish, they called out their names, and that was their graduation ceremony.
Wow,
yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah, it's a good deal.
Isn't Long's Donuts by the track?
Yes.
man, that's some good eating right there.
It's a good gig if you can get it. It's like having the White Castle by Lucas Oil Stadium.
Well, the Subway by Lucas Oil is packed every Sunday. I remember 2 years ago at the Raiders game, every Raider fan was at that Subway on South Street. It was packed out.
Well, and here's another track story. It was a White Castle near the track, and this would have been, you know, the days of the snake pit.
Right.
It would literally get so bombed out during the race month, they would rebuild it for the next year.
That's funny.
Yeah, that's back in the good old days.
Yeah. The snake pit. Yeah, all kinds of stuff went in there.
Yeah, and then came out to get on the rest of us. Yeah,
yeah. Precisely. My number eight pick, gone too soon, Dan Weldon.
Yes. Yep. Yep. Very good. Very, very
good. And that was so shocking. That was so shocking when it happened that day. You're like, oh, it was like unbelievable.
They, I remember the video of it happening, and I think, you know, they'd done so much for safety up to then, but that was just the way it happened. You know, they try to minimize the risk, but that scenario right there, there was nothing that could be done. So
right, it kind of reminded me of a little bit of Dale Earnhardt Sr.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit, but his he didn't look that bad, but with Weldon it did.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I totally agree.
So
my number seven is Janet Guthrie.
I should have put that on there.
Yeah, she was the first female to start in Indianapolis 500. I'll take her over the most famous female driver in IndyCar any day.
Oh, you mean Sarah Fisher?
No. The other one.
Oh, Miss Patrick.
Yeah, Aaron's ex.
Yes, correct.
She had more impact on Aaron Rodgers than she ever did on motorsports.
Quite. And she only won one in
one race in Japan. She
right.
Even in the States. She did it in Japan.
Yeah, so there you have it. Then she tried to do NASCAR and that didn't go so well.
Yeah. So. But Janet Guthrie, class act all the way.
Right.
You know, helped make entry into new places for women all over the place. And Sarah Fisher, awesome. I believe, I can't remember her name. It starts with an S. Salvatore, maybe. She's racing this year. She's announced.
Oh, okay.
It's a brave new world.
Well, one time there were three women in racing in Indy 5, and I can't tell you who they are. Well, it was Sarah Fisher and Danica Patrick and
Pippa Mann, and that was 2011.
She was in the Speed Racer movie, right?
Speed Racer.
One of the racers was in the Speed Racer movie, but I don't remember her name.
That I'm not familiar with.
Okay.
Yeah.
My number seven, you know, we talked about him earlier. Can't go wrong with this guy. Everybody loved him. Johnny Rutherford.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. My number six passed away today. He was a three-time winner of the Indianapolis 500. That's Bobby Unser.
Right. Yep.
And lived out near where I grew up, at least in retirement. And he was another Unser.
Question. Since you were living where you were living, could you see the race live?
No.
Okay. It was also blacked out in Anderson as well.
Yeah. That is still, I mean, I know about 3-4 years ago they aired it live. That was when, I can't remember the guy's name. He was an American that won the race. It was his first time winning it.
Ed Carpenter?
No, not Carpenter. Before him, the year before him, his first name started with A, I think, or maybe his last name started with A. But they aired it live, and I made a point to watch it because I'd never been able to see it live before on TV.
Right, and that brings up another point, because if you were in Central Indiana, it was blacked out, which I understood, but I didn't understand. Is you had to listen to it on the radio.
Yes.
If you wanted live coverage. So which was kind of a cool thing.
It was, that's how we did it. I remember the year Gordon Johncock won?
Yeah. 86.
Yes. I was, because that's Memorial Day weekend, and right. that Sunday, we happened to be out. My mom's parents would always, at some point during that weekend, go out and you know, lay wreaths or flags yeah. at grave right. sites. And so we were out at my mom's family's burial sites.
Cemetery.
Yeah. And in the background was the race playing.
Yep.
On the radios.
Yeah. You know. Well, we would usually see the race because my grandfather and grandmother, we would all drive down to Evansville or Princeton and we could see the race. And my grandfather was famous for playing the deadly jarts in the side yard. So yes, that's what we did on Memorial Day weekend and had potato salad. We just didn't let it sit out in the sun too long.
Yeah. Otherwise, you know what you're going to be doing on Memorial Day.
Right.
If you're not in the hospital.
Right.
It's going to rhyme with jarts.
Charts?
Something like that.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. So I think you're on number six.
Yeah, I did number six as Bobby Unser.
Oh, my bad. Yeah, my number six is Mario Andretti.
Okay. All right. Well, we're close on a lot of these.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I'll move on into number five is Mario Andretti for me. I believe was only a one-time winner, but boy, yeah. did he make things exciting.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
I can't believe he's still driving the tandem car out at the track.
Yeah, he is.
You know?
Yeah.
That guy is awesome.
We've already talked about this. My number five is Bobby Unser. Yeah. My buddy Billy in Houston put up a picture of Bobby in Speedway eating dinner with a Bob Nowicki, the original center of the Indiana Pacers. So that was kind of cool.
That's very cool.
Yeah. And I was on social media today.
That's a lot of Indiana stuff right there happening.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
My number four, and until I started doing the research, to be, you know, 100% transparent.
Sure.
I had actually forgotten his name because he was, he definitely is, in my opinion, one of the greatest because he did this a long time ago. He was the first time, three-time winner
mm-hmm.
of the Indianapolis 500. He raced from 1928 to 1939. And his name is Lewis Meyer.
Okay.
And to do that back then.
Yeah.
And to drive for 11 years, it'd be like, well, some of the other greats that I have yet to mention, but that was probably a very long time because, I mean, well, let's see. I don't think they ran the race from 1941 to 1945 because of World War II.
Right. They didn't have enough drivers.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Or teams.
So he was probably the first mega driver right before World War II happened. Yeah.
Right. Okay. That's a good pick. My number four is Mr. Controversial, but the fans loved him. And I mean, loved him. We were very loyal to him. Al Unser Jr.
Yeah. 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 I'd mentioned him earlier and
right.
one of the more recent races I've been to in the last 3 or 4 years. Well, maybe it's more like 5 or 6, but we were sitting again. I try to pick right at the entrance to the pits,
mm-hmm.
The seats there about halfway up. And we were talking with some of the folks because from year to year, the seats change and everything like that. There's very few people around there that I've noticed that are there every single year.
Right.
But in this particular year, it was some of his in-laws from Albuquerque.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. So we had a good bit of fun, especially as the day wore on and the sun came out and, you know, the beverages were
flowing.
Flowing. Yes.
Yes.
So yeah. It was pretty good. That was a pretty good day. Well, so for my number three, then, I'm going to say his dad, Al Unser, 4-time winner. And another fan favorite. I'm glad I got to see him do some racing. So, Al Unser.
We tied for number three.
Okay. All right. Good. So, you put father and son 3 and 4. That's good.
Yep.
I like that. I like that. Another fan favorite that I put for number two, another 4-time winner, is Rick Mears.
Okay. Before I get to my number two, what happened with me and the Indianapolis 500 is when they split off and then they went into two different directions.
Yeah.
What was that technically called, Rob?
Well, there was the fight about what is IndyCar.
Right. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. And around that time, I was working for a company. It was my first real job out of college.
Yeah.
And I happened to be working with some folks whose, basically they had ends on a lot of the existing way things used to be.
Yeah.
Their yearly tradition was they would rent their house out to Emerson Fittipaldi.
Sure.
Okay. So, I mean, they were very big into the way it used to be. So when that blew up happened around the late 90s, I was sitting there looking at it and I was like, no, come on, this is going to be a good thing. It's time, you know, change is good. Right. And yes, I know there was a lot of, butthurt feelings around that time.
Oh, wow. You really said that.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, if we look at it 20, 25 years later,
yeah.
Is the sport better? I don't know.
I can't say yes.
Cart versus IndyCar.
Right. Right. And that's why I brought that up. To me, when that happened, that was kind of like breaking up the band. And I was kind of like done.
Yeah, yeah.
So a lot of people walked.
A lot of people were that way. And you know, again, transparency. I can't say that I had ever been to an Indianapolis 500 until 2002, I think it was.
Yeah.
And, you know, and on that one, it was just with a bunch of buddies that had an extra ticket. And we hung out in between the third and fourth turns and, you know, just waited for somebody to say it's over. You know?
Yeah.
But, you know, since that time, I know that the existing formula setup, the way they do it, I do think, do I think it could be better if they hadn't done that? I don't know. That's really my take on that.
Okay, that's fair.
Because of the advent of NASCAR and all these other things, you know, I don't know that it detracted too much or that it added too much.
Well, I'll make the argument because they did that, NASCAR really took off.
That's true. That's very true. But I think a coup de grace around that time would have been that. And I doubt he was going to go into IndyCar to begin with, was Jeff Gordon lived right down the street from the place.
Right.
And he elected to go into NASCAR. And that was about the time he took off. So,
exactly.
Precisely. You know, but he wasn't racing go-karts necessarily. He'd already started in the late 80s to kind of do the dirt track racing with I think an eye on NASCAR. So
right.
And that was before the whole ban broke up. But yeah, that now that's a good point to make in the history of what has become I think still the greatest spectacle in racing. If you ever get a chance to go, it is that first 15 minutes. It is the greatest spectacle anybody can ever see in their whole entire life. I hands down, it's just, yeah, it's good.
Because the reason why I say that is my number two is going to be your number one and your number two is my one.
Yep.
So, yep. So I'll leave my story for number two for you. My number two is AJ Foyt.
Yep. You nailed it. You nailed it. You nailed it.
So.
Okay. Okay.
So what's your AJ Foyt story?
My AJ Foyt story. And it's funny because just as much of a blank hole as he could be.
Yes. Quite.
My mom loves him. My mom loves him. Sure. But for example, hates Bobby Knight. Right. So I'm sorry.
Aren't they the same guy?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they are. But see, I mean, AJ Foyt raced from 1958 to 1992. And yep. Towards the end of 1992-ish, he was, I mean, just screaming at people. And, you know, when yeah. they would do the on-air radio interviews with him, I mean, he did yeah. not care. He would tell you exactly where he was coming from. And he did not care because he didn't have to care. But he had 35 consecutive starts in the Indy 500.
Right.
And he was the first time, four-time winner.
Yes.
So, yeah, that's why he's my number one. So why is Rick Mears your number one?
When I think of Indy 500, I think of Rick Mears. I just thought he was class all the way. I thought he was a very talented driver. He basically put Penske on the map. And yeah, that's you know, when I think of Indy 500 racing, out, you know, let's see, how can I make this comparison? Let's see here. Rick Mears is kind of like your favorite uncle, but AJ Foyt is the uncle that if you ever get in a fight, you want him in your corner. So
yeah. Well, and here's another AJ Foyt story is when his grandson was racing and not doing right. too good. Yeah. I was like, I would hate to be that kid. No, I would oh, hate yeah. to back. Yeah. It's like, oh my gosh. But how do you stack up against the legend? It'd be like, it'd be like Larry Bird's son or grandson trying to play basketball, you know,
like Pat Knight.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the one. So,
so oh my.
Yeah, no. Okay. So, I guess the question I've got is on mm-hmm. just, you know, as far as where the race goes now and, you know, what it can be, what it can become. I want IMS to put some damn lights up at that racetrack
yeah.
and start running night races. Could you imagine IndyCar at the Indian at IMS at night or NASCAR at night? That would be huge.
It'd be fun.
Yeah. Every time I hear it being brought up with powers that be, it's not going to happen. And right. it's like, you know, I'm just like, I guess that's my question is what kind of changes do you think Penske will be able to influence now that he's the owner?
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question because so many people are NASCAR nothing. It's kind of like in the Indy 500 slipped a notch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is a shame, but you know, it is what it is. So
Yeah.
And I can't believe I just said that too. Everybody that's overused. But you know, it's yeah, that's what Ricky T has on his desk. It is what it is. Yeah.
It is what it is. That's right.
Yeah.
You remember that. I've forgotten that a long time ago.
Yeah.
I do have to tell you one story about that 2011 race where I was in turn four and Dan Weldon won it by default going into the fourth turn. The wonderful thing I've found with that whole event, and I'm glad that I believe they're going to be at 40% capacity this year. I don't think I'm going to be going this year, but
good.
The whole day, it was a very long day, but the people around, you know, they're there to really just enjoy the day. And
right.
I'll never forget that day for another reason. There was a guy sitting behind me. He had a sweatband on.
And oh boy.
And he had a t-shirt on that he'd cut the sleeves, the arms out of. So,
right. You know, it's a muscle shirt.
It was a muscle shirt, but on the front of the muscle shirt in pink writing, it said, "All women sweat." And
okay.
He was carrying around his beverages in a trash bag.
Nothing but the best.
Oh man, this guy was something else. That he had, like, if I remember right, he had red hair and like almost why do they call him faux hawk, mohawk?
Right. Yep.
And mutton chops. And but he was giving beers to everybody, and I don't think he even made it to halftime because he'd been up all night, obviously.
Yeah.
And so, but. Yeah, just go sometime, enjoy the atmosphere, try to make it out alive.
I'm not dropping $100 on that mess. No, that's okay. I'll enjoy my Memorial Day in the air conditioning. Thank you very much.
It's not too bad if you take a bus. You can get a bus, you hop on it downtown, they drive you in, they drive you out. You know, no man left behind.
My brother went one time, got a third degree sunburn. He said, "That's enough for me." For 4 hours.
Oh no!
I was there for an hour, and he left.
You got to put the lotion on. You put the lotion on their skin, or you're going to get burned again.
Oh, that's funny.
Because that guy was burnt too. I mean, red hair. He probably hated himself for like the rest of May after. Well, I guess June, because it's at the end of May. But
what's your favorite 500 memory?
Is it the one it's funny you ask that, because we were talking about radio, and a lot of my best memories are from the radio, because WIBC, who always covers it, does a perfect job. Even if it's it's like watching grass grow, they make it sound exciting.
Sure.
I think it's the one where Little Al wins by just a few tenths of a second. It was the fastest finish ever, or closest finish ever at that time is a Little Al win. Yeah.
What's the one where they had three cars right at the end?
Oh yeah. That's been a recent one. That's been a recent one. Yeah. I think I was at that one, and if I was, that's probably why I don't remember who won it. But
yes,
that has been in the last 5 years, if I remember correctly.
That's probably mine. So
yeah, the closer the better, and I think the early '80s, Danny Sullivan,
spun out. Yeah, that was cool.
Let's see. There was one. Well, one. Oh, no, this is just a story. Bobby Unser.
Right.
I heard this tidbit while I was out driving around today.
Uh-huh.
Bobby Unser, when he won his first Indy 500, he drove an extra lap because he said, "I wasn't going to stop in case they weren't counting correctly," meaning the folks counting the laps.
Right, sure.
So he went, whatever, 502 and a half miles.
On that sounds like a good ending note. Rob, do you have any final closing comments?
I don't. Well, everybody, please go get the vaccine. I get mine tomorrow, and then... And then I can't promise what's going to happen after that. But and Joe, I think you're getting yours at the end of this week as well. So
Friday, yeah, I'm. It's spring is here.
So yes, I say yes, it is. Hay fever and all.
The Weiss store played on Saturday.
Did they really? Where?
Yeah, 10th and Shadeland.
Ah, they're still breathing.
Yes, they are.
I gotta start watching more internet because, yeah, I gotta look into that.
Yeah.
So they're on Indianapolis tour. Is that the deal?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome.
My buddy John told me about it. He asked me if I would go. I said I had my daughter, or I would have went. But
yeah,
I saw them before the virus hit at the Rascaler.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Well, yeah, I'm going to have to definitely go see them again because it's been about 30 years. And
yeah, oh, yeah.
I listened to that album a couple days ago. So
no, they still sound good. So
awesome.
Yeah. All right. So please, if you would, make sure you visit gleaners.org and donate. $1 equals 5 meals for the hungry. Once again, it's really easy to do. Just go to gleaners.org and you can donate and help our citizens here in Indianapolis. This episode's been brought to you by letter B as in Bobby, Joshua 1, Psalm 91, and 1 Peter 5:7. For Rob, I'm Joe Carney for Indy's Local Flavor, and we'll see you soon.